Rabbi Yitzion was a priest in Holland, and he decided on his own he's going to follow the truth. He calls it truth, because the truth. And as a Christian, he began keeping mitzvahs, because they have no answers. Like the Bible says, do this, do that. And he spoke about, like, he began doing rule of an esrog. So he took a branch and a lemon, because he likes lemons. His friend took a pineapple. In other words, because without Torah Shebaal Peh, you don't know what's going on. And eventually he converted and came here. So he told the following story. Okay, he converted, and eventually his father... No, he was in the process of converting, and his father also decided to convert. And then, and obviously his fellow priests were very upset. You know, Ayitzion's fellow priests were very upset. Okay, then... Lo'aleinu, his father contracted cancer. And Ayitzion's fellow priest said, you see, that's it. Because you and your father's hiding, that's what you're being punished. It's a sign from heaven. You're being punished. And that's why your father has cancer. Now, if you have to listen to Rabbi Ayitzion give his talk. I uploaded it last year to YU Torah. If you type in Aryeh Tzion, you'll find his. You'll find it. So, he said, "I trust in Hashem. I have emunah in Hashem." And I said, "Hashem, why is this happening? There must be a good explanation. I don't understand why this is happening." So here's the story. His father wanted to convert. His father had worked many years for a newspaper. And his father had another year, roughly, to work in order to get his pension. But you have to work on Shabbos. That's part of the job. So his father was stuck. He wanted to convert, but he wanted to get his pension. So what happened was, 2 years later, his father had a full recovery. And the cancer is gone, Baruch Hashem. But because he had cancer, that was his excuse not to work. So he was able to retire with a full pension a year later. And Rabbi Yitzion said that priest who made fun of him, he himself died of cancer a few years later. This is the emunah which he lives with. You have to hear him talk. Very, very powerful ideas. He said that he converted. I forgot if his father also converted or not. I think his father also converted. I think I don't remember exactly. He'll tell the story. So, when he converted, and maybe his father did or didn't convert, I forgot. Well, he'll tell the story. His father got sick. Lo'aleinu, got cancer.
I missed that part.
Wait a second. So one of his friends who was a priest came in and said to him, "You see? God's punishing you. Your father has cancer now because you're converted to Judaism." So this guy, Aryeh Tzion, he has emunah. And he talks to God, you'll see, all the time. And he said, "God, you know, I trust you, but I don't understand why you're doing this." Okay. So his father decided to convert. Or had decided to convert. Get there. But he didn't want to work on but he'd have to work on Shabbos. His job was on Shabbos. But because he got sick, and if he didn't work another 6 months or a year, he wouldn't get his pension for retirement. But because he got sick, he was putter from working on Shabbos, from working at all, and he got his age for his pension, then he got better. And that priest that said that got cancer a year later and died of cancer.
Watch out.
I remember that.
That's like an unbelievable... So that's the story you missed. So stay awake this time. That's one of the stories you missed. Okay, no. Like, these stories... And Aryeh Tzion said, what he said was, I knew it was going to happen. In other words, he really lives with Amunah. He lives with Amunah. We all should feel that way. It doesn't always happen within a year or two.
but it always happens. You know, Hashem runs the world. So his father getting cancer, which he recovered from, was what his father needed to make it. And it's, okay, whatever. So that's the domus. Here we go, guys. Let's go. There's a huge amount. What? Oh yeah, oh yeah. So we have to say hello to Mr. Ben Ozeri and Mr. Zach Grossman. B'zat Hashem, B'zat Hashem, B'zat Hashem. What? Malin again, yeah. But B'zat Hashem, they're doing well, and we'll see about the standing ovations. We'll give them a day or two. For Mr.
I won't tell
it's okay. You can tell them it's okay, Mr. Ozeri and Mr. Zach. Well, here we go, guys. Let's go. Okay, Yisro is. I mean, there's a huge amount in B'shalach. I didn't finish. I added more at home. We'll just do a little bit. Here we go. Okay. Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard something and came. What did Yisro hear? Rashi says, Kriyas Yamsuf and Mochemes Amalek. Heard Yamsuf and Amalek. So the Mepharshim discuss why those two. What doesn't it mention? It doesn't mention Matan Torah. So this is a big thing. There's a huge machlokas whether the Torah is in order or not. Rashi refers to it later in Parshas Yisro. There's a huge machlokas. When did Yisro come to greet Bnei Yisrael? Before Matan Torah or after? What's the order of the Chumash? Before. And that's it. And others say it was after. It's a big machlokas Tanoim, and there's a huge Ramban on it. So one of the proofs they bring that he came after, that he came before was Rashi. The Medrash doesn't mention Matan Torah. Had he come after Matan Torah, it should have said, hey, you heard Matan Torah. Okay, so again, there are proofs on both sides. It's a huge topic. You should know in general, Rashi often makes the Chumash out of order. The Ramban likes to keep the Chumash in order. It's a big yesod. The Ramban will almost never use the rule of Ein Mukta Mukha, but he'll use it sometimes. There's a rule, Ein Mukta Mukha B'Torah. Torah doesn't have to be in order history books. Rashi uses it a lot. The Ramban goes out of his way. Here's an example. The Ramban has a huge Ramban, and he sides with the view that the Torah is in order. And there's one pasuk at the very end of Mishpatim where he gets stuck. If you read the Chumash with Rashi, according to Rashi, the Chumash is totally out of order. If you're interested, I gave a shiur on Ramban. I can send you the topics. It's a huge topic. Okay, that's one. Next. Let's continue. Here we go. Pasuk Zayin. Vayetze Moshe. Moshe goes out to greet Yisro. Okay. Kavod Gadol Nizkabed Yisro B'Yos HaShoah. Because Moshe went out to greet him. And who went when Moshe went, Rashi says? Aaron went. And once Aaron went, Umishu Ra et Eilu Yotzin Vol Yotze, everyone went. So all of Am Yisrael led by Moshe greet Yisro. So this is Moshe at the time, he's not Jewish yet. So Moshe gives kavod to his non-Jewish father-in-law. He stops Shir to go to greet him, and everyone goes. So that's a famous Rashi. This is Moshe's Akaras HaTov, that Yisro helped him, and then sent his daughter, gave him his daughter. So this always reminds me. There's a great Rav named Rav Gusman Zatzal. I told the story about him, Rav Saul Gusman. So he was on the Beis Din of Vilna in his early 20s. And he take care of the yeshiva on Fridays. There are different stories. He either cleaned the Beis Medrash or something. He cleaned the Beis. There are different stories. No. Here, he made Aliyah in Israel. So once the Talmidim caught him, Rebbe, it's beneath your kavod to do this. You know, you shouldn't be cleaning up the Beis Medrash. The boy should be doing that. So we said, when I was on the base of the Vilna in my 20s, I once came late to one of the meetings. And the Chavetz Chaim was visiting. So when I walked in my 20s, Reb Chaim Moser stood up for me. And then the Chavetz Chaim stood up. And then the whole room stood up. That's enough kavod for a lifetime. I don't need to have extra kavod. And I can clean the base mat. Anyway, so that I always think of that story when I think of this Rashi. All right. And anyway, let's go on. There's a huge amount to do. It's a nice, let's continue. Oh, so Yisro says, Moshe, Atoya Dati, this is Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol HaElohim. God's greater, Hashem is greater than all the other gods. How did he know? What does Rashi say? He was master of Avodah Zarah. Melamed HaYemakir, Bekol Avodah Zarah Sheba Olam, he knew them all. Shlenich Avodah Zarah Shelo Avda. He tried everything until he found Judaism. So that's Yisro was a master of Avodah Zarah, and he eventually converted. Okay, next Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is the famous Rashi about when did Yisro come? Vayimi Macharas. The next day, Moshe is being Yishvot Esa'am, and Yisro says, "Oh, you're going to get wiped out. You know, you're going to get worn out." So what does it mean the next day? So look at Rashi, famous Rashi. Motzei Yom Kippur Haya. Rashi brings one shot. It was the day after Yom Kippur, meaning this pasuk happens after Matan Torah. Let's get the timing. Matan Torah was on Vav Sivan, Vav or Zayin Sivan. It's a machlokas. Moshe goes up to Hashem, up to Shemayim on Zayin Sivan, meaning some say it was the next day, some say it was that day at the end of the day for 40 days. Comes down, play to Egel, Shibasa B'Tamuz. Goes back up for 40 days until Kuftes Av, davening. So until Kuftes Av, comes back down to get the second, to bring up the stone for the second Luchos. Goes back up Rosh Chodesh El, another 40 days until Yom Kippur. And Moshe brings down the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. You have to know that. Those of you who have the Purim book know it already, but you have to know that. Moshe brought down the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is a day of Matan Torah. Who says that? The Gemara says that at the end of Tainus. We'll learn it for Zakshin in the summer. Okay, you got it? So when Rashi says it was the day after Matan Torah, that means Pasuk Yud Gimel is happening after Matan Torah. So that's this Rashi. So the simple pshat is that the whole Perek happened after Matan Torah, that Yisro came after Matan Torah, according to Rashi. Some say no. The first half of the Perek was before, and the second half was after. That's a discussion about this Rashi. Okay? The Ramban says, what does Macharas mean? The day after he came. Not the day after Yom Kippur, because everything's in order before Matan Torah. So the key is, what does the word Macharas mean? Does it mean after Yom Kippur? Or does it mean after the day after he came? Okay, that's the Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel. What's the main proof that Yisro came after Matan Torah? Rashi quotes a look at the Pasuk. Yisro says, Moshe, what are you doing? You're working too hard. So Moshe says, I need to teach them Torah. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Hodati Eschuk Elokim Ves Torah Sov. I teach them the Halachas, the Torah. So what does it sound like? What does it sound like? Do we have the Torah ready or not? We have the Torah ready. So Pasuk Tes Zayin. Sounds like we have the Torah. So this is the main proof for those that say Yisro came after Matan Torah. Others say, no, that means the mitzvahs we got up tomorrow. Okay, fine. Next. It says, Moshe says, the Pasuk says, Vayomar Moshe miboker ad erev. The whole day, Moshe was judging them. He did nothing else. Rashi says, Efshar lomar came? Moshe did nothing else? Rather, obviously Moshe did other things. He wasn't only doing that the whole day, 24/7. It means if you give a correct psak, you get schar as if you were learning the whole day. If you're a dayan who puts the time, when you're a dayan, it takes a lot of time. You have to sit there, and when you're listening to like the case, you're not learning. It takes away from your learning. So this Rashi is a chizuk, that if you judge a case of Torah properly, you get schar as if you learned the whole day. And then Rashi goes on, from the Chazal, Uki'ilu nase shutof HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'maisei breishis. Why? It says, v'erev v'yiboker. Here, erev and boker. So A, you get schar as if you learned. B, you're a shutof, you're a partner with Hashem. Why? Because God created the physical world, and God wants the physical world to be run according to the Torah, to the current halacha. So when you bring halacha into the world, you're helping further the bria. The bria is not a bria for animals; it's a bria to keep the Torah. That's the pasuk shot. When you don, when the judge gives a correct psak, he is bringing the Torah. He is having the world be governed by the Torah now. So that's the goal that God wanted in creation.
Yeah.
That's the goal that God wanted in creation, and that's why I shouldn't have Kodesh Baruch. So let's go. Here we go. Next, Perek Yutes Pasuk Beis, maybe the most famous pasuk quoted all the time. Maybe the most famous Rashi. Vayichan Sham Yisrael, singular. What does Rashi say? Ki ish echad b'lev echad. One man with one heart. There was full unity when they were mekabel the Torah. So this is a huge topic. What this means and why it's true. It's a big topic. What was the other Kabbalah Torah? Kimu v'kiblu, Bisman Purim. And it says there, Leich Kenoses Kol HaYehud, and gather them all together. There was unity. And the Grub points out, maybe not everyone realizes this, this will be in, I'm sure this is in Rav Ron's upcoming Sefer on Moli B'chaser. Kimu v'kiblu, the famous word Kimu v'kiblu, the word v'kiblu is written Kuf Beis Lamed, with the kubus, the three dots. There's no vav there. So the Grub points out, it's written as if it could be read v'kibel, singular, because it was Kabbalah Satorah, like Vayichan Yisrael. That's the famous, the Grub makes that comment. You with me? It says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kibu, that's the pasuk which Chazal quote in Shabbos Adaf Peches, that was their rededication to the Torah. And it's also written as if it could be written singular, the letters v'kibel. Okay, for the achdus. Oh, let's go on. We'll do one more, then we'll stop. Pasuk Gimel. Kosomar lebeis Yaakov, v'saged levnei Yisrael. Oh, so this is a famous Rashi. Somar is to the women. Beis Yaakov refers to the women, Rashi says. This, and Bnei Yisrael refers to the men. So first of all, this is where we get it from. Beis Yaakov is called Beis Yaakov because of this Rashi. Okay. So what? Why the change of the verb? So Rashi says, "Somar." Amar is a soft. There are three words for speaking in Hebrew: Amar, Daber, and Haged. Amar means soft language. Daber means strong, and Haged can be either one. Here it means strong. Haged can be kosher kegidin. It's hard like your sinew, or it can be soft like a connection. Eged. Eged is called Eged. You're connected. So here it's chazak. So Rashi says, to the women you talk softly, and to the men, that's what Rashi says, you talk more, lenashim tomar lehen b'lashon raka, and for the men, onshan v'dikdukan, p'irish v'zchayim, you speak more chazak. And it's interesting, the women are put first. That's a famous discussion. Why are the women put first? So Moshe Feinstein says, that we want to put first because in the long run, their role is more important in maintaining the Masorah, because they're the ones who raise the kids, and they're the ones who deal with the kids when they're little and train them. So Moshe writes that since the whole Masorah is built on the early age chinuch, we'll discuss this at the end of the week, B'zat Hashem. So women come first. So when you're choosing who to get married, whom to get married to, you've got to marry someone who values Torah, and values the Masorah, because she's the one who's home more than you are. So her values are getting into the kids. And if you want the Torah to last forever and the Masorah to last, you've got to find someone who really values Torah and values the Masorah. And that's why women come first before the men. Okay, I think we're going to stop here. And we have to learn a little today, and we'll stop here.
Okay, let's continue. In Perek Yates, Pasuk Yer Aleph, so the Torah says, prepare for 3 days, for the third day, Leom HaShlishi, which means Shisha B'chodesh, for the sixth of Sivan. Okay, in other words, the plan was, the original plan in a sense, was for the Torah to be given on the sixth of Sivan. Now, 2 points about this Rashi. Number one, later in Pasuk Tezvav, Rashi quotes a machlokes about what actually happened. There's a machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rav Yossi whether Matan Torah happened on Vav Sivan or on Zayin Sivan. Rav Yossi understands the psukim later in Tezvav that Moshe, in a sense, added a day, And in the end, the Torah was given on Zion Sivan. Others say, no, the Torah was given on Vav Sivan, and Moshe didn't add a day, but that was, in a sense, we followed the original plan. That's a famous machlokas, and there's a lot of discussion about it. Was the Torah given on Vav Sivan or on Zion Sivan? The Gemara explains that both agree that the Torah was given on Shabbos. The question is, was Shabbos that year Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan? Okay. So you have to read Rashi on Pasuk Tezvav together with Rashi on Pasuk Yud Aleph. Then Rashi goes on to say in Pasuk Yud Aleph that this is all happening on, well, okay, Rashi then says as follows. Uvachamishi bana Moshe es hamizbeach tachas ahar ushtem esei matzeva kol ha'inyan hamur parashas ebeila mishpatim. So here Rashi gives you his view. This is a major, major machlokas, Rashi against the Ramban. Rashi says that regarding Matan Torah, the Chumash is very, very much out of order. According to Rashi, you have to take the end of Mishpatim, Perakuf Dalet, and the first half of Perakuf Dalet in Mishpatim happens here. In Yisro, Perek Yotes, Rashi in Mishpatim, Perek Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, says that this parasha happened on Dalet Sivan. The Chumash there mentions 2 days, so it's Dalet and Hay Sivan. So according to Rashi, the first part of Perek Kaf Dalet of Mishpatim happens much earlier in the Chumash, and the second part of Perek Kaf Dalet, starting from Pasuk Yud Beis, happens afterwards. That's how Rashi learns. Now the Ramban argues, the Ramban there in Mishpatim, and this actually is a big yesod you should know. It's pointed out by different mefarshim. I first saw it in the writings of Nechama Leibowitz, Aleh Shalom, that the Ramban avoids using Ein Mukta Mukha B'Torah unless he absolutely has to. The Ramban really holds the Chumash is generally in order. And this is a classic example where the Ramban explains the whole Chumash to be in order. There's one pasuk at the end of Perakov Dalet where he gets stuck. And he's forced to say it's out of order. But basically, the Ramban holds the whole Chumash reads in order. Not like Rashi. And that's, if you're interested, if you look in Mishpatim, Perakov Dalet, a very long Ramban there, explains his approach to the dates and the timing of Matan Torah. Okay, back here to Yisro. We're in Perek Yotes. Okay, Pasuk Tes Zayin. It says, "Bihiyos Haboker." It wasn't just in the morning. Melamed Shehiktim Al Yadam. Hashem came out first, in a sense. Normally, it's not that the Rav waits for the Talmud; the Talmud waits for the Rav. But here, Hashem, in a sense, came out first. So this is one of the sources for the minhag of staying up the whole night on Shavuos. In a sense, we overslept, we were late coming out from Matan Torah. So to make up for that, we learn the whole night, and we, in a sense, we try to makabel each other early on Shavuos morning. And that's one of the reasons we stay up the whole night, quoted from earlier Svarim. It's interesting. My Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita likes to quote a different approach found in the Chassidish Sfarim. Not that we overslept, but we slept on purpose. B'nai Yisrael knew they were receiving the Torah. So they knew there were two types of nevuah. There's a nevuah of the average Navi, which a person, when a person either is sleeping or loses his faculties. Then there's the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, where you can have a nevuah when you're awake, and you're awake, and you can hear Hashem without losing control of all your faculties. So Bnei Yisrael assumed that they were going to receive Matan Torah as a nevuah, and they assumed that they would receive the nevuah like regular nevi'im sleeping. So they were sleeping on purpose, and Hashem had to wake them up. No, you're gonna receive the Torah with a special nevuah. It won't be exactly the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't say that, but it's gonna be where you're able to be awake, not like the average navi. So it could be, it's a different angle on the minhag of staying up the whole night. It's not on this idea. It's not that we overslept. It's not that we slept on purpose. We slept on purpose. Okay. That's what Rav Shechter always says over. Next, it says, in the same Pasuk Yedzayin, B'tach Tisar, at the bottom of the mountain. So Rashi quotes the famous Maimer Chazal from the Gemara in Shabbos, that the Medrash says, Nitra Shahar V'nichbalim Kegigis. Hashem put the mountain over them like a gigis, like some sort of tub or cover. And Hashem, in a sense, forced the Torah upon us. Oh, this is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches, that the original Matan Torah was somewhat deficient, that it was forced upon us, and we rectified this when? At Purim, when we re-accepted the Torah Miratzon. How can you say the Torah was forced upon us? We said Naseh V'Nishma. Good question. Tosfos asked that question. There are many, many answers to that question. It's a famous question. Okay. Let's continue. Rashi, Pasuk Yates, it says, Moshe Yidaber. Moshe is going to do the talking. What does that mean exactly? So Rashi points out that Bnei Yisrael heard the first two of the Aseres Hadibros from Ipia Gvura. Anochi Anu Yelucha. Hashem, it's written as if Hashem is talking himself. And then starting from the third of the Aseres Hadibros, Moshe is talking in a sense for Hashem. It wasn't Hashem's own actual voice. Oh, that's a very famous Rashi in Pasuk Yates. Let's continue. Perek Kuf. So the Aseres Hadibros begin. So the Devarim es kol hadivarim ha'ego. All these words. What does that mean? So Rashi quotes from Chazal. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Aseres Hadibros b'dibur echad. All at once. No one can do that. And then Hashem explained one by one. Somehow, when Hashem gave the Aseres Hadibros, he spoke in one sound and was all there. Then he went back and he explained how each of the Aseres Hadibros separately. I think the pshat of this Chazal is the idea of the unity of Torah. It's one big unit, the perfection, the unity, that really, really, it's all one big unit. And at the deepest levels, at the highest levels, you know, one word of Hashem contained everything. But since we can't understand it that way, so Hashem, in a sense, then went back and explained it line by line. But in reality, it's one fully harmonized, perfectly blended unit, how the entire Torah blends together. I think that's the Pashup shot of this Amr Chazal. Okay. So in Pasuk Gimel, Torah says, Lo yeocha Elohim achrim al panai. Shouldn't have other gods. Rashi explains, they're not really gods. Ain an Elohus, they're not really spiritual, divine. Ela, achrim asom Elohim achrim. People make them into gods, but they're not really gods. Oh. In other words, the word achrim means the gods that were made by others. But they're not really other gods. It's gods that were made up by others. That's one pshat. Another pshat, Ohim Achirim. Rashi says, Hem Achirim Leovdehem. Achir can mean a stranger. They're strangers to those that worship them. They cry out, Soakim Aleim Veinonim. Vidoma Kilu Hu Achir, as if it's a stranger. Enam Akirubom, I don't even know who you are. So the term Elohim Achirim could mean they're like strangers. The gods are like strangers. In other words, they don't help, they don't respond to those that turn to them. Okay. Next. The Torah says, it's a famous two famous psukim here, which Rashi quotes a famous Maimer Chazal, that if you do Averas, Pokeda Vonavos Al Banim, Al Shilashim, Awibeim, four generations, Lisonai. But Viosa Chesed La'alafim, Leovai Shmei Mitzvosar. But to those who do the mitzvos, 2,000 generations. So what do you see? That Hashem's Mita Tova is 500 times more than Midas Peronios. Rashi says, Hashem guards the kindness. A person does something good. Tooth, Lashalim Schar, Adalal Payim Dor, 2,000 generations. Nimses, Mita Tova Yeser Al Mita Peronios, Achas Al Chameshmeos. This is part of Hashem's beautiful Rachamim, that the good things we do, the impact for the generations is forever, almost 2,000 generations. And the bad things, the punishment, only for four. Okay. Next, Pasuk Tes, Sheshes Yomim Tavod, V'asisa Kol Melechtecha, you finished all your work. What does that mean? You didn't finish all your work when a person has more work to do after Shabbos. Rashi says, no. Kishatavo Shabbos, Yehebe Necha Ki'ilu Kom Lechtecha. So it should seem as if all your work was done. Shilotahar Acher, but don't think about it. But the Torah is telling us that when Shabbos comes, you should put all your work aside. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Your thoughts should be focused totally on Ruchnius, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this, you know, the spiritual dimensions of Shabbos. That's the pshat. You do all your work 6 days, that it, in your mind, it's as if you're finished, nothing else to do. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not thinking about anything else. But, okay. The next pasuk, there's a famous pasuk here. It says, you can't do malacha ata uvincha ubitecha, etc. Now, who's the bincha in the pasuk? Now, the bincha, this is important, the bincha is not someone who's bar mitzvah, because that's ata, that's you, he's a bar mitzvah person. Read Rashi. Ata bincha vitecha elu ktanim. It says, it can't be the gdolim, amarta v'kfar musharim heim. That's ata. El roba el lahazir gdolim al shvisas haktanim. That you can't have your son to work for you on Shabbos. Oh. Now this means that you're not allowed to have your son do work for you on Shabbos if he knows he's doing it for you. Let's say the light's on and you want the light off. So to say to your son, oh, okay, the light is on, maybe turn it off. Well, you can't do that. Or let's say the refrigerator door is opened or it's closed, and you know the light was left on, so you have your son open it for you. You can't do that. That goes against Teseres at Dibros. He's doing the malacha for you. Oh. Okay, now. So if the child's doing a malacha, and he realizes it'll be good for the parent, so the parent's not allowed to have him do it. He has to stop him if he sees him doing it. Oh. Now, what if the child's below the age of chinuch? He doesn't really know what... He doesn't know exactly what Shabbos is or this. And you put him in front of the light switch and he's playing. He might turn on, he might turn it off. So then, if the child understands this is being done for the parents' benefit, it's always usher. But if it's a little kid and he's fooling around, he's playing. So then it says here in the Children in Halacha, Rav Simchi Bina Makoim, page 67, Accordingly, one is permitted to place a child of less than the age of chinuch in front of a light switch so that the child may turn the light on or off. One must remember, though, that if switching off the light will benefit only the parent, and the child realizes that, the parent must stop the child from doing so. Okay. Now, Rav Cohen here brings a discussion, and this is just to be aware, there's a whole discussion about if a child's below the age of chinuch, and it's an issur derabanan, and the reason why it's being done is for the child's benefit, not only for the parent, but also for the child, then some are makil in that situation, to tell him to instruct the child to do that. He's under the age of chinuch. It's only an issur derabanan, and it's for the benefit of the child himself. So that's a discussion that you can read about it. But in a normal case, like the light bulb case with the refrigerator, you can't ask the child to do it for you. And it goes against the Aseret HaDibros. That's a pretty big thing. Okay, next, the Torah says, Lo Signov, you can't steal. So Rashi quotes the famous Maamar Chazal that this doesn't refer to regular stealing. This refers to kidnapping. Because elsewhere in Vayikra, it says Lo Tignov, referring to stealing money. So this refers to kidnapping. Okay. Pasuk Tesvav, the Torah says, Everyone in Ro'imas HaKalos, they saw the sounds. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Ro'ines HaNishma, they saw the sounds. Rashi's getting at is, this was a completely supernatural Nes Nigla event. Hashem speaking to people. One time event where all of Am Yisrael heard Hashem speak. It was completely beyond nature. So just like hearing Hashem speak is beyond nature, the kol is, it's a different kol. You could actually see the sounds. Okay. The Pasuk says in Perakuf, Pasukuf, Lo Tasuni Ti, Elohe Chesef Ohezav Lo Sasu Lachem. Okay. Don't make gods of silver and gold for yourselves. So the Chofetz Chaim has a comment about this in the Sefer Abbas Chesed, Al Derech HaDrush, Derech HaMusar. He says the pasuk means literally. The pasuk reads, "Don't make." Well, one could read the pasuk literally, "Don't make your gold and silver into your gods," meaning don't worship money. It's a nice fort. You worship Hashem. Money is used as a tool for avodas Hashem, but don't make your money, don't make your gold and silver, into your gods. That's why Taka in America, where it says, "In God we trust," on the dollars, that's a good thing. Then you have to realize that when you have your money, really, you should be thinking and feeling and knowing that it's in God we trust. So that line on the American dollar fits with the Chofetz Chaim comment in the Sefer Avas Chesed. Okay, next. The Torah says that the Mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash, Lo Sivnes Hen Gozis, you can't have it hewn out of a stone. You can't cut the stone with metal. Rashi says, there in Pasuk Kaf Beis, Sheim Heinafta Le Barzel Chilalta, Shem Izbeach Nivra Leharich Yom of Shaladam, Ver Barzel Nivra Lekatze Yom of Shaladam. Izbeach is made to make you live longer. You do tshuva for your Averus. So then you live longer. You offer Karbanos. And Barzel, iron swords are used to kill people. You shorten a person's life. So, Ein Zeh Bedin Sheyunaf HaMekatzer Al HaMa'arich. It's not right that the metal that's used to shorten the life is used, it's waved over, you know, it governs it. It shapes the item which is going to use to lengthen your life. Oh. So that's why you don't use metal. You don't use metal. Okay. Oh, then Rashi quotes another pshat. V'od, another pshat. The Mizbeach brings peace between Bnei Yisrael and Aviyah Shabbat Shemayim. And you shouldn't use the Koris U'Mechabel, a sword that injures, shouldn't be used on something which the whole goal is to join together. And then Rashi quotes a Kal V'Chomer, Avanim can't see and can't hear. But because these Avanim of the Mizbeach are making peace, you can't use Barzal on them. Oh. In other words, these stones, in a sense, get rewarded, in a sense, that they can't be cut with iron. So, Hamatil Shalom Bein Ish L'Ishto, somebody helps bring more Shalom Bais to others. Bein Mishpacho L'Mishpacho, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, Arachas Kama V'Kama, Shlo Tiveil Peranios. What a beautiful Rashi. You won't be punished. You'll be protected from punishment. Amazing. The stones that are used in Mizbeach are protected from punishment. So Kal V'Chomer, a person who actively does something to help others have more Shalom Bayis, to have families get along better, he'll be protected from punishment. Beautiful Rashi. It inspires you to try to help others have more Shalom Bayis and help families and people and families get along better. Okay, we'll stop here with quite a long parsha of Rashi's. We'll stop here.